Here it is, another Saturday in CCO land, a good Saturday morning. It is Ted Farrell's Wine Chat is in order. Hi, Ted. Good morning.
Good morning, Denny. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's a nice morning. I know in some parts of CCO land, believe it or not, maybe getting a few showers, us included, probably very minor. But outside of that, it's going to be a nice day, a cooler weekend, but warming up again. What's on your mind these days?
Well, it is a cool and gorgeous day. And I mean, just the fall is such a fantastic time to be a Minnesotan. You know, it's definitely payback for all those winters we suffer through. That's for sure. But Denny, I need you to kind of maybe settle a bet. We were discussing what we were going to talk about on the chat this weekend on just yesterday with some of the guys in the office. And one of the guys in the office made a mention, said, well, why don't you talk about grilling? It's the end of grilling season. Now, I said to him right away, wait a minute. Grilling season's year-round. I just need you to settle this bet for us. Does grilling season end, or do you always shovel a path out to that charcoal grill?
That's the only thing that takes me a little longer to get to that charcoal grill is that when I have to shovel. But you are absolutely right. It's not, you know, it's not like daylight saving time. It ends. It's a year-round. Yeah, I'm with you.
Exactly, because they made it seem like, no, you button that thing up and you push it off in the corner, and it's like, no. We're Minnesotans. We're hardy people. We love to grill, and we grill year-round. That's the first thing I unshovel is pass straight out to my smoker and to my Weber grill, because I love to grill. And our wives today that we're going to talk about match so well with grilling, and you'll be in pig's heaven here, Denny, just because we're going to be talking about Malbecs.
Bravo.
Because we'll be tasting Malbecs in the store, but Malbecs are such a great red wine to go with anything you're grilling. You know, the Malbec, great varietal, started out in the Cahors region in France, which is the southwest region, very close to the Pyrenees Mountains. Now, those grape varietals, when people immigrated from that area down to Argentina and whatnot, they started planting those grapes. Now, in my humble opinion, I'm not the biggest fan of Cahors. I find it a little bit acidic, a little bit too earthy. There's a lot of stone and minerality to a Cahors, which is just not my favorite. But then it went down to Argentina, and they planted it along those Andean mountains. And boy, oh boy, did it change and evolve just literally because of the location. They're smooth, they're rich, they're very developed wines. And a lot of it is those soils that you see outside of the town of Mendoza up in the Andes Mountains. Well, there's a lot of different alluvial soils, a little bit of that kind of, if you want to even call it rock, stone minerality to it, that is so great, but it's also the climate. They are at a little bit higher elevation than they are in the over in France. So that high elevation, it's a little bit cooler climate. It's subtle, and it's just wonderful. And one of the favorite ones that we love to talk about, there's three in particular, but you know, our old friends, the Rothschilds. Now, the Rothschilds are a world-famous family. Back in about the 1700s, there was one Rothschild. He had five sons. And he sent them out on an adventure, so to speak, where he sent one son to London, the other to Paris, the other to Rome, the other to Geneva, and the other one to Berlin, all to start up banks. Now, that's where they developed their family crest, the five arrows. The five arrows were the five different sons that left and flew out and went across the world to start worldwide banking. And it's an amazing family. They amassed a fortune. That one of them eventually became a baron, or two or three of them are now barons in France. Very, very rich family. And they invested heavily in the wine. Obviously, most famous is Lafitte Rothschild and Mouton Rothschild over in Bordeaux. So those, you know, are grand estates, wonderful, huge wines, but also thousands of dollars now, which are very expensive. But they realized, you know, they need to do stuff. So they moved and set up shop from Bordeaux all the way down into Mendoza, Argentina, and they established the Flechas de los Andes Winery. And the Flechas, again, is the Spanish word for arrows. Flecha, like the fletching, if anybody out there is an archer, the word fletching and flecha is the feather that goes onto the end of an arrow. And with that, they set up their winery, and they created three or four different expressions of Malbec that are just wonderful. And kind of the intro level of Malbec is a Guari Bay. It only retails for about $12-some. It is just a Malbec lover's Malbec. At that price, you can kind of stock up. You can truly enjoy it in really rich, full-flavored, wonderful wine. But then they have another expression called the Flechas de los Andes. And this one in particular, I kind of call it a two-stainer. It is so rich. It is so bold that, you know, when you kind of finish up a few glasses of it, you might notice that your tongue turns awful purple because it's so rich and wonderful. Then they have even a higher expression, which is around the $30. And it's a little bit more in the Bordeaux style because it's Malbec, but they blend in a little bit of Cabernet Franc, that blending varietal that you see all throughout Bordeaux, to kind of soften it up. But it's a more elegant wine. So if you really want to kind of go crazy with your Malbec experience, try the Grand Corti. The Grand Corti is the one that has a little bit of Malbec in it. Wonderful wine, but I mean, it's a different expression. You know, it's $34. It's worth the try because grilling season, it never ends, and it's going on right now. And right now, I was kind of very fortunate. My brothers were out duck hunting this last weekend, and they harvested several ducks, and I was kind enough to give me a few duck breasts. And I am so excited to put those duck breasts on the grill and have a little bit of Malbec. And a little trick I've learned from a few chefs is called a dry marinade. And the dry marinade is kind of interesting. It works very well that right in this type of season, because if everybody looks out at their little herb garden, it looks like the Adams family's front yard right now. It's falling apart. But you harvest up all those leftover herbs. You make a nice little bed, whether it's on a cooking sheet or whatever. You put the meat that you're going to cook eventually on all those herbs. Maybe dabble a little bit of olive oil on the meat. Sprinkle some salt on it and then cover it back up with more herbs. Put a little, put another cooking tin on it. Put some weight on it and then keep that in the fridge for probably, you know, for sure an hour, if not, you know, 2-3 hours before you grill. And when you throw that on the grill, sear it on each side. And for me, I like, especially game, I like my game very rare, only 2-3 minutes aside, because game doesn't have all that fat and, you know, gristle, or not gristle per se, but the marbling per se that steaks do and things like that. Those critters are out there working for a living, so there isn't as much. So I don't overcook them, but that dry marinade is such a fun way to do it, and it really accentuates the flavor, really makes a big, bold expression on that, and gets people ready for the grilling season. The grilling time this afternoon, but that dry marinade is a very fun way, and you can do that with pork chops. You can do it with steaks, but again, we're doing it with the ducks that my brothers were so generous and gave me a few duck breasts for that, so we put that out on the grill and get it going, and really exciting times on the grillers out there in Minnesota.
Yeah, year-round. When you mentioned, Ted, the Malbec from the Mendoza region, I was thinking, and maybe it was our late friend Charlie Boone talking about it, because I had not visited, I've never been to Argentina, but to my understanding, they have some great beef there, and I'm thinking, what a great marriage. You got all that great beef and great Malbec.
You're correct. You know, down there they have what, instead of cowboys, they have the gauchos, and they're the ones out tending to the cattle and doing all that, you know, making sure that the beef is very good. And, you know, they really don't marinate a lot of their stuff, but they do all kinds of open grilling where they, you know, build a nice big fire. They'll have a side of beef dangling over that fire, slowly tending to it and just letting the natural flavors come out to it. And, you know, Mendoza is a wonderful city. If you do have opportunity, go visit it. And it's kind of up and coming as far as a great wine region, because it's still relatively new as far as people going there and visiting. It's, you know, it's been, they've been producing wine for, you know, about 100 years, but really making an impact only in the last 20-some years as far as that. So they're new. The people in Argentina are so welcoming. They're so warm. They're so friendly, and they're so excited to have people come and see the vineyards. They can't believe that people come all the way down to Argentina to go test their vineyards. And the interesting thing is, you know, it is a long flight, but at least you don't get too discombobulated with jet lag, because you're literally, they're 2 hours ahead of us, So it's not too much of a discombobulation that way. But the place is so friendly, and it's actually quite inexpensive. Well, I suppose some of it depends, too, on what government they have and how bad their inflation rate is. But it's generally pretty inexpensive place to go visit. It's just a little bit of an arduous task to spend about, you know, I think it's about 8-hour flight all the way down to get to Buenos Aires and then another flight up to Mendoza. But you'll be rewarded by the time you get there to really see their wine industry. And it's just growing by leaps and bounds. A lot of worldwide investment, a lot of Argentinian investment coming in there as far as new state-of-the-art facilities. And there's so many different wines, you know, that we'll be tasting in the stores, those Aguari Bays, the Los Flechas and the Corte, but there's other Malbecs. There's so many to choose from. A while back, we talked about Loscano. They have a great Malbec, which is wonderful, very full. They have a couple other great varietal expressions as well. There's another one, the Diamantes de Andes, which is the diamonds of the Andes. A great full-flavored one. They even make a Chardonnay, so if you are deciding to go grill a little bit, there's some great Argentinian white wine to try. A while back, we also talked about their Torrontes by Loscano. What a fun wine that is. And it's still, you know, warm enough to have a nice Torrontes to chill it a little bit as you're sitting there, something to drink while you're flipping all those big beefs and steaks and things like that over the grill. You're just going to enjoy that. And it's a wonderful starter to have with salads. That Loscano Torrontes is just wonderful.
Some great ideas. Ted, we're almost out of time. How about giving us some locations for Haskell's so we can pick up some of these great ideas?
That's a great idea, Denny. You know, we can't do the grilling for you, but we can make the whole experience that much better for you. The Haskell's Fall Wine Sale is going on now through the month of October. There's all kinds of wines to taste. There's also beers, but in the stores today, we'll also be tasting those Aguari Bays and those Malbecs. So if you're interested in grilling, come on down. And we have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with lots of free parking on the weekend. We have Haskell's in Minnetonka. We also have a Haskell's in St. Paul Highland Village, Haskell's down in Lowman's Plaza in Bloomington, Haskell's in Excelsior. We also have Haskell's in White Bear Lake, Stillwater, also a Haskell's in Plymouth, down in Faribault, if you're down south, and always you can stop by our Haskell Super Cellar up in Maple Grove. It's a sight to be seen. And if you can't do any of that, you know what? Just sit at home, get online, and go to Haskell's.com because that is open 24/7.
Absolutely. Great idea. Ted, thanks so much. Let's do this again next week.
Hey, that's going to be a great time.
Thanks very much. Ted Farrow from Haskell's.